right, welcome back. Top of the second hour, this Wednesday, January 10th, 2018. And I want to wrap this up real quick. We'll open up the phone lines, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. I wonder what makes Jodie Foster an expert, an authority on the subject of technology. I wonder how much she's worked with it and studied it over the years. I wonder how many books she's read by old school bad guys like Ray Kurzweil. Who knows? I wonder if she thinks it peculiar that the novels that guys like Philip K. Dick wrote decades ago that became the subject of cult fiction and sci-fi lore and then movies and television shows and are now suddenly science fact, no longer science fiction. I wonder if she finds that a provocative coincidence in so many cases and how we're kind of heading that direction. One of the, you know, just as a brief aside, one of the most astonishing, I think, is the Total Recall scenario. We're hearing about trips to Mars, and who was it that recently said, Anthony Lewandowski, I think. Anthony Lewandowski, speaking of his artificial intelligence god, was asked, when will this new religion and artificial intelligence god be created? And, you know, Donald Trump says we're going to go to the moon, go back to the moon, even though we never went the first time. And, you know, I'm by the way, I'll just say this. This might be controversial, too. These are too many rabbit holes at the same time, but whatever. I think the whole flat Earth thing is a way to discredit folks who have realized that man never made it to the moon. The Van Allen belts, if nothing else, prevent that for man. You know, if we don't have a ship that's lead lined with walls a foot thick, there's no legitimate way to speculate that man made it to the moon and back without coming back as a scrambled egg, basically. Passing through the Van Allen belts. So I think the flat Earth stuff, you know, you'll notice that anybody who says the moon, you know, man, the Apollo missions and man making it to the Earth or the moon the first time was complete nonsense, you'll find that those voices have been swarmed and overwhelmed by the flat Earth discussion. That's my conjecture on that. I think flat Earth is a psyop to discredit folks who say that we haven't been to the moon. Anyway, that's probably too many rabbit holes. But Anthony Lewandowski has been asked, when do you think this will happen? This artificial intelligence, God writing its own Bible and creating its own religion. And he says, before we go to Mars, which is interesting. And of course, you know, Donald Trump says we're going to go back to the moon and to Mars. And guys like Elon Musk say we're working on that. And I say that that's a giant psyop. I think that, you know, sort of paralleling the Total Recall scenario, how would we not think that an organization that was able to hide the Manhattan Project from civilization, essentially, and springboarding or catapulting off of that monumental success of deceit and occlusion, hiding the farcical nature of the Apollo missions. What makes, and we hear about you know, other projects, Bluebeam is something that people, it seems to kind of come back to the top of the discussion of alternative circles from time to time. It has recently, and projects like it. Thinking about those kinds of projects, what makes someone think that a giant psyop couldn't be orchestrated to lead people to believe that we've actually colonized Mars and, you know, like guys like Elon Musk say, all we need is just a little spot, and, you know, it'll be great. You'll live in some kind of a giant geodesic dome and mostly underground, and it's going to be fantastic. Who's to say that can't be entirely orchestrated and engineered with real people somewhere on Earth? You could put someone, you could fake cryosleep and say, you know, congratulations, you're here. And it would be a eugenicist's dream, because you could fake or hoax some kind of staged event here on Earth. We got a meteor that's going to hit the Earth, or some kind of catastrophic event, and just tell people they have to jump on a rocket ship to Mars. And look, here are some of your loved ones that think they're on Mars but really aren't. They're out in some desert somewhere. Who's to say? You know, with the technology that's available today, hard to imagine that's not possible. So, you know, that's, if we're going to Mars, unlike Werner Herzog, I'm not going, just so you know. And speaking of that, coming out of this, the first hour, the moment we hear that, you know, chipping yourself to keep up with machine learning in the workplace, basically, which is kind of the point that I was getting to, one of the points in the first hour, that's coming. With machine learning and artificial intelligence, so-called, stealing jobs, which it is, and it's projected to more and more, with companies hiring even white-collar jobs being automated or replaced by machine learning. Accountants, attorneys, and other white-collar jobs, not just manual labor, the prospects are quite terrifying in many cases. And now we hear, you know, STEM is the only way to go, and things are moving so fast and getting faster, it's becoming very difficult to keep up, let alone catch up. You can go to sites like Udacity and Udemy and see what I'm talking about. You know, Udacity has the nano degree program, and technology is moving so fast. You have field experts now sort of acting like professors and teaching these classes. And by the time those things are published, within 6 to 12 months, even those are outdated. There's no way that universities can keep up with this. Where is this headed? And that's another story I want to talk about in a minute as well, which reminds me of the story that has now gained national attention. What is her name? Why can't I think of it? The North Carolina woman who is kind of the Daisha Hargrave, that's her name, Vermilion Parish School Board meeting nonsense. We'll get into that in a minute. You know, and this is a perfect example. You have the right to sit down, shut up, and do exactly as you're told. Teachers apparently aren't allowed to ask questions and to challenge the establishment narrative. Anyway, you know, well, let's just get back on topic here without going too far astray. I want to give you a little excerpt of Jodie Foster's appearance on CBS This Morning back on December 11th, a month ago, talking about the episode that she directed for the Black Mirror series titled Archangel, again, season 4, episode 2. It's as the Bordop explains, and speaking of that, you know, the Mars scenario, that's something that Bordop and I kicked around, but I don't trust any of it. You know, the more we go on, the more I see these psyops sort of coalescing into and congealing into a, well, to use his word, a very bleak scenario for mankind. As we're normalizing these concepts, you know, again, getting back to the Black Mirror series and it seeming to be sort of a Tavistock sort of message of mental manipulation and normalizing things that are bizarre and abnormal. I guess the last thing I'll say about that is the Black Mirror doesn't play like a Twilight Zone sort of anthology, because the Twilight Zone was more Twilight Zone-ish. You can see the inspiration, but Black Mirror feels more like a, well, you know, what if this really happened as we were creating this technology or going down this path? And there is a Latin phrase I forget exactly what it is, but the Latin phrase about comedy being used essentially to speak to the morals of a society or the lack thereof. I don't remember what it is, but that would be the operative concept, basically. Castigat ridendo mores is the phrase, literally meaning laughing corrects morals. That's kind of the operative concept, you know. You see that the problem is it's been, that concept has been hijacked. Castigat ridendo mores, laughing corrects morals, has been hijacked, and now laughing has been, that concept has been flipped, and laughing is a another political psyop tool to geld and inure folks in opposition to a social concept or a construct that's being imposed on people. And we see that especially in the late night. I mean, look around. The Golden Globes is a great example. Any one of, I don't know if you watch any of these awards shows or anything like that, but you know, they used to leave the politicizing of everything out of those shows. There was a little hinting here and there, but it wasn't a social justice warrior platform, which is all those shows seem to be now. You know, we're going to wear this color, we're going to boycott it, we're going to make sure we all say this or have a certain hand gesture. It's just, it's gotten ridiculous. And this, from a culture of attention-seeking psychopaths anyway, just seems like overkill on top of overkill. Anyway, the late-night shows, Castigat ridendo mores, laughing corrects morals, they're weaponizing this concept now, and you get the feeling watching these shows that if you're not laughing, if you don't think it's funny, in fact, if you're offended, outraged, and horrified by what you're hearing, then you're just not a normal person. That's kind of the subtle implication weaponizing this concept of Castigat ridendo mores. So it's this kind of thing that we see happening. Anyway, I want to give you this little excerpt of Jodie Foster on The Black Mirror. This, again, was CBS This Morning last month. Her talking about directing episode 4. We'll just play a couple of minutes of this, but listen to this.
Jodie Foster's career in Hollywood spans more than 5 decades, but she's still a baby. She's a trailblazer in the industry with hit movies like, you remember Panic Room and Flight Plan? She won 2 Academy Awards for her performances in The Accused. I remember that. Silence of the Lambs, remember that too. She sits in the director's chair for her latest project. It's the Emmy-winning Netflix series called Black Mirror. It's a science fiction anthology series described as a modern take on The Twilight Zone. She directed the premiere episode. It's called Archangel, where a mother turns to new surveillance technology to keep her daughter safe.
You have a recommendation, so Sarah will be part of our trial period.
Well, it's been tested, though, right?
Of course.
She's not like a guinea pig.
Yes, it's all fully tested, perfectly safe. This is just us fine-tuning our subscription model before the full launch. Look at the kids.
We're getting feedback on which features our customers use most in the real world. Response so far is just incredible. The sense of security, peace of mind. I mean, the stories we've been hearing, they are truly inspirational.
Can you see the screen?
Okay, then.
Oh, you got to at the part where they're going to put the chip in. We welcome Jodie Foster to Studio 57. Hello, Jodie Foster.
Hello there.
Or should we say Jodie Bloody Foster? Because the producer said that when they first heard you were even interested, they said, there's no way we get Jodie Bloody Foster to do this. But you agreed because what?
Well, because it's an amazing show.
It
amazing
is.
Show and a beautiful episode. I worked for Netflix before, and you know, it is kind of like working for God when you work for Netflix.
Was Black Mirror a series you had been watching? Is that what drew you to it?
You know, I didn't know anything about it, and I just was having a conversation with one of the executives over there and bemoaning the state of the movie business and saying that I really wanted to do feature-length films on streaming. So this is the way to go. Mm-hmm.
Well, describe what you're talking about there, that scene that we just missed, the technology.
There is a device. I can't tell. I want people to watch it, so I can't tell much more about it. But there's a device that allows you to keep your child safe. Yeah. And, of course, every
That's really not telling much about it.
Look, I've always wondered. I've always thought about this. I mean, I have children.
Yes.
Whether you could implant something in them in order to monitor them. Most parents that I know, too, use the Find Your iPhone to know where their kids are all the time who have their iPhone. So the idea of surveilling or keeping track of your kids and what the consequences of that are.
But like everything in Black Mirror, you know, technology is really just a reflection of our own messed up psychologies.
Right.
And the technology itself is benign. It doesn't have feelings. It just does what we asked it to do.
Right.
And unfortunately, it highlights the crazy dynamics and psychology of our family lives.
And of parenting, where the tighter you squeeze, it's like a bar of soap. The tighter you squeeze, the faster it slips out of your hands.
That's enough. I mean, you've seen that movie. I think. So you get the idea, I hope. Pretty disturbing stuff. You know, Jodie Foster says working with Netflix is great. It's like working for God. That's bizarre. Again, you'll notice these kind of subtleties. And as I've been saying, people need to be reading Toynbee. And who was the contemporary that... Oh, there's a guy. Oh, I know who it is. I'll talk about that on the other side of this break and we'll go to the phone. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Hey folks, CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You just like
what you're talking about there, that scene that we just missed, yeah. The technology.
There is a device.
I can't tell, I want people to watch it, so yeah. I can't tell
much more about it, but there's a device that allows you to keep your child safe. Yeah. And of course, every
That's really not telling much about it.
Look, I've always thought about this. I mean, I have children, yes, whether you could implant something in them in order to monitor them. Most parents that I know, too, use the Find Your iPhone to know where their kids are all the time who have their iPhones. So the idea of surveilling or keeping track of your kids and what the consequences of that are.
But like everything in Black Mirror, you know, technology is really just a reflection of our own messed up psychologies. Right. And the technology itself is benign. It doesn't have feelings. It just does what we asked it to do.
Right.
And unfortunately, it highlights the crazy dynamics and psychology of our family lives.
And of parenting, where the tighter you squeeze, it's like a bar of soap. The tighter you squeeze, the faster it slips out of your hands.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen that movie Boyhood, and in some ways this film has that similar feeling where you see a child, you start with the child from the beginning, from the time that she's born, and then you follow her until the end of her adolescence. And there's something, you know, you feel possessive of her, and you feel possessive of that life. There's a part of you that wants to take care of her, and there's a part of you that wants to handicap her, to stop her growth.
And Jody, what do you so it's a mother and a daughter. That's not spoiling anything. We see that. How do you think that was different? You know, they say you raise daughters and you let sons grow up. Is that a part of the dynamic? Could it have worked with a mother and son?
We just would have been a different movie with a mother and son. My first movie I directed was Little Man Tate, about a mother and a son. And it's a very different relationship, and it's one that's fascinating to explore, but it's very different.
Well, because you have two boys, right?
I have two boys, but I was raised by a single mom, and our relationship was fraught and interesting. She was my manager. She worked with me my whole life. Mm-hmm. And that, when we had to pull apart, was very difficult. That struggle was very difficult.
Mm-hmm. And you know what else the producer said about you is that you didn't just do it. You also became very engaged in the process.
Right.
You were phoning in notes. You were saying, I think we ought to do this. Is that normally how you handle directing, Jody, that you go all in when you're doing the project?
Yeah, I've directed.
They know what they're getting when they get you.
Certainly in features. That's what you do in features. And
thank you. All I wanted you to hear was, again, that little bit. Jodie Foster saying, they're talking about what comes next in the scene. If you watch it, the little girl gets a chip stuck in her head. And Jodie Foster describes it as a device that allows you to keep your child safe. Only, guess what? It doesn't work out quite that way, does it? It's unleashes a horrifying set of circumstances. And the CBS This Morning host says, you know, I've often wondered. It reminds me of the insanity, the stupidity of the Caddyshack line. You know, I've often thought of becoming a golf club. I've often thought of – anyway, so the host says, I've wondered if you could implant something in your kids to surveil and keep track of them. This is being normalized. That's not okay. And you think about, again, like I said last week, I mean, we've played the clips recently of folks saying, hey, you know, maybe we could stick this stuff that obviously is not safe. You know, we played the RT clip last week. The latest round of these devices are not safe and, you know, you shouldn't sleep with it in arm's length from you. But, you know, of course, it's fine when you're awake. There's apparently something that happens when your body is in a prone position or something. And I say that jokingly, very cynically. It's not safe, but it's okay when you stick it up to your head. Just don't sleep with it at arm's length or closer. It's ridiculous. But we should stick this kind of technology in us. I mean, just that on the face of it is not a good idea. But where it's headed is even worse. Chapter 11, 2029 of Kurzweil's Age of Spiritual Machines, where he talks about these implants and the contacts that can be either temporary or permanent. How great would that be? And, you know, the cochlear implants that with the contacts and everything else now act as input-output devices. Precisely in this fashion, that was published back in 1999. And it's not science fiction. These were predictions or a roadmap. So the Age of Spiritual Machines to me is one of the most damning outings of these bad guys trying to do this kind of stuff. And really, again, it ultimately goes back to the devil trying to counterfeit God's character and nature, his omniscience, his omnipresence, and those kinds of things through technology, the ubiquity of technology. I mean, if everyone has cameras in there, and you know, you see this concept all over the place. We saw it in Terminator, the heads-up display that Kurzweil talks about in The Age of Spiritual Machines. Again, chapter 11, 2029. Just read the first page of that chapter to get an idea of what I'm talking about. You see it, you know, in the first thinning, for example, and Logan Paul is, you know, finally YouTube apologizes. Again, another setup, by the way. YouTube is now going to punish everyone else. In how convenient that YouTube finally speaks out after the damage is done, after the wave subsides. Now they're going to sensationalize the issue. Again, I think just really kind of politicizing what happened as advertising for the thinning too, coming up in July, but punishing their subscriber base for the sins of their own YouTube star, Logan Paul. And it's called Reverse Beggar Thy Neighbor, where you punish the herd for the sins of the minority. Stick around, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Life full of fun seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself. Don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. Bottom of the second hour already of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. This Wednesday, January 10th, 2018. And let's go to the phones real quick without further ado and grab Paul in New Jersey. Paul, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hello, Chris.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Chris. I really enjoyed Kurzweil's book, The Singularity Is Near, a few years ago. I read it, took the time.
Yeah.
And I got to admit, I love the novelty of the ideas he's putting forth. And so I would put it as a must-read because it's very interesting about the potential trends in the future. Now, one thing we got to be honest about, we might not want to merge with machines, but when you're on your deathbed, if you could get a few more years out of your life by incorporating or merging somewhat with the machines, which in a sense almost already exists, you know, if you think about a pacemaker, artificial heart, things of those nature. We already incorporate some of those things for life extension. And so that's one thing we have to be honest about, that, you know, we might poo-poo life extension, but if it really comes about and you're enjoying the quality of life, I think it would just be normal human nature to try to live longer. And I don't see that as wrong or unhealthy. I think it's very natural. Another thing is I find interesting about Kurzweil in his book, though, is you're aware that he's, you know, embarked upon a total fitness health regimen because he thinks that the life extension technology is about, well, he wrote that book in 2005, so it's about due in the late 2030s, where some of this technology might be available, and of course it'll be more available to billionaires like himself. So he's trying to stay perfectly healthy, being monitored by doctors, and trying to make it because he figures he'll be in his 90s or late 80s at that point, and then maybe they'll be able to reverse age him at that point. But the thing I thought interesting about the singularity is near is that I kind of compared Moses, Kurzweil, to a religious figure in a sense, in the megalomania of what he was putting out, in the sense that he's promising eternal life through embracing the singularity. And that, and by the way, he borrowed a lot of those ideas from, I think his name is Drexler, who wrote The Engines of Creations in the 80s, and Drexler kind of prophesized or came up with a concept where we would put nanorobots in our bodies to go around and replace old dying cells with new fresh cells, and that we'd basically have swarms of nanobots living in our bodies and rejuvenating us perpetually. And so I think that they're wrong about the dated technology. I think it's a lot longer off than what Kurzweil hopes for. But I think it's something, that if it does happen, I think it's going to be natural for people to embrace it.
Well, you may think it's natural. I would entirely disagree, respectfully. And it gets right to kind of the heart of the theological nature of the discussion. I would think of the way that things are trending, this technology, it's hard to argue, has been benign or has worked entirely for the benefit of mankind. There are a number of instances that we can point to that, overshadow benefits with catastrophes. And again, man is imperfect, yet we're being encouraged to think of these concepts of tinkering that these guys talk about. Guys like Michio Kaku, say tinkering with the brain. Well, I don't think the brain is something to be tinkered with, but that's how they think of it. And you read through the book of Revelation, you come to passages like Revelation 9:6, and in those days men will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die and death flees from them. Circumstances, we've been shown a dystopic future while encouraged in schizophrenic fashion to embrace a utopian future. Going back, the technocrats have been doing this for a long time. Edward Bellamy, his Looking Backward, 2000 to 1888, plagiarism of the concepts of a utopian future of his day is perhaps one of the most notable examples. And coming forward, there have been several others. But this concept has been floating around and been more normalized as we've gone on. And as I've said, for years now, and more in recent broadcasts, this idea that science as a religion, scientism, these lying signs and false wonders, that science can cure everything, that And I think pacemakers and things like that are gateway technologies. We hear, what's this, Aubrey de Grey, you know, I always think of Dorian Gray basically, but Aubrey de Grey is the poster child for the live forever movement, essentially. And this is a false promise the devil has given since time immemorial. And so, no, I don't think it's normal. I would entirely disagree. If you have a certain worldview, it may be normal, but to think that, especially when you start to think about the fact that, you know, these concepts are untested, the technology, you know, it's harmful in a number of cases. And, you know, as you said, this concept of, I mean, guys have been freezing themselves or their heads cryogenically for decades. It's abnormal, I think, depending on your worldview. And mine is certainly that it's abnormal. And I'm betting on the return of Christ to straighten all this mess out, because it seems that no matter what side of the discussion you fall on, there's really no arguing that man is an imperfect being. And so it's hard to imagine that he could create something perfect, as I said in the first hour.
Well,
how do you create something greater than yourself? You don't.
Well, we built pyramids. We built monuments, you know, and I consider the pyramids.
That's a monument, though. That's not greater. That's an inanimate object.
Right, but the point is, if we never try, we're never going to get a result. And remember, you know, physicians have, you know, done brain surgeries before. They constantly tinker. I mean, the reality is nobody wants to
die. I wouldn't call brain surgery tinkering, though. That's Michio Kaku uses is one of the words he uses is tinkering. I don't think tinkering is, you know, I think there's a line. And to try to do something, you know, we need to check our motives before we try anything. You know, to try evil to get results is not necessarily a good thing. Obviously, which reminds me of the agencies that I talk about. You know, refining evil creates a more virulent strain of evil. There is an aspect of these discussions, you know, if you have a theological view of the world that this is God's creation, then you bump up against the issue of playing God. And that's obviously wrong.
Yeah, but there, you know, there's a scale of that, and there's gradations of it where, you know, where somebody could say you're playing God and playing not, and everybody chooses generally where they're comfortable in that. You know, should you take a vaccine? Should you take a vaccine? Should you take a flu shot? Should you have a hernia surgery? All these things potentially are what didn't happen 2,000 years ago when the Bible was written, but they're matter of fact now.
Yeah, and there's a lot of medical practice that would be considered malpractice today that was done 2,000 years ago. You know, the bloodletting of, you know, the George Washington, not 2,000, but just 200 years ago, basically. You know, the bloodletting of George Washington as a medical practice that probably killed him ultimately. That was normal back then. So what we think is so fantastic today is not necessarily. History tells us that we're not quite as smart as we always want to be. You know, the way that Orwell put it, every generation thinks itself, what? I forget the quote exactly. Wiser or smarter than the generation before it and wiser than the coming generation. You know, that's the naivety and foolishness of science and scientism and its lying signs and false wonders. I think it comes down to a worldview, and we're being encouraged, basically coerced, I would say is more the operative word, to gravitate toward these gateway technologies that are called kind of the confluence of medicine and science. But I wouldn't agree with that. You know, I talked about the legislation and the fact that the FDA has been, medical devices guidance for industry and FDA staff class 2 special controls guidance for implantable radio frequency transponder systems for patient identification, that kind of stuff. Why do we need to identify patients through their pacemaker transponder?
There are other agendas here at work. Yeah, well, I think a lot of that is the Medi-Cal salesmen and all salesmen, including Kurzweil, pushing their newfangled gadgets because they've got money in it and there's a big profit in it. And so, I agree with your point. What you said about implanting like radio frequency transmitters, because if the technology is so advanced, why should you have it to insert it in your body? You know what I mean? It really shows it's actually rather primitive if you have to insert something in your body to have yourself identified. Can't you have that just built externally? Right. And one last comment, Chris, before I go, is that the real problem I had with Kurzweil in the book The Singularity Is Near is that he just thinks, and I thought it was really naive and crazy when I read it, that part I really was revulsed by, thinking that you could just replace a human mind with silicon and that, you wouldn't notice the difference kind of thing. That's where I had a real problem with him, because I just generally would think the human mind has to be biological, and, I clearly would think that, if you went and could replace brain cells one at a time over a prolonged period of time, I believe you wouldn't notice. But thinking you could take out a whole or a section of your brain and put it in silicon or either transfer it externally is, I found, totally ridiculous. And so that's where I think he stepped into quackery.
Yeah, and again, all of that lends itself to that nefarious agenda that I'm talking about, that the Bible seems to speak to, lying science and false wonders for what point. And, we've played the clips of guys at gaming conventions talking about how we're moving from wearables to implantables. And again, why? Why is that necessary? Kurzweil, again, chapter 11, 2029 of The Age of Spiritual Machines, I think is one of the best. And this is being normalized. Back when that was published, it was still horrifying when you read, where he writes, displays are now implanted in the eyes. Displays are implanted in the eyes with a choice of permanent implants or removable implants, similar to contact lenses. Images are projected directly onto the retina, providing the usual high-resolution three-dimensional overlay on the physical world. These implanted visual displays also act as cameras to capture visual images, and thus both are input and output devices. Cochlear implants are now ubiquitous, allow auditory communication in both directions between the human user and the worldwide network. But this is disturbing. Direct neural pathways have been perfected for high bandwidth connection to the human brain. Speaking of 5G and the broader broadband initiative that's been coming forever, and Trump is working on that now where Obama left off. This allows bypassing certain neural regions. For example, visual pattern recognition and long-term memory. Sounds like a Total Recall scenario. Or are they my memories or not? And augmenting or replacing the function of these regions with computing performed either in a neural implant or externally. Anyone with any sense would say, that's not normal. And why would you want to do that anyway? Why would you want to augment or especially replace the functions of these regions? And these bad guys will give examples like what you see in the Black Mirror scenario. What if you have a traumatic
brain injury
event or something in life? The problem with that is, again, we're playing God. Who's to say? And I go back to the example of the disciples asking Jesus about the blind man. Why was this man born blind? Was it because he sinned or his parents? And Jesus said, neither. It was so that God's power could be demonstrated here today. So when we take away God's ability to perform miracles, trying to supplant that with our own miracle-making so-called capability, we lose those opportunities. And no one can do that better than God. Romans 8:28, Revelation 21:5, places like that, you see where God's nature is counter to this experience of entropy that we have here on Earth. You know? So I think, again, it's really kind of rooted in a worldview as to how you see these things. But I have to say, I mean, even to your point, that, you know, calling someone a carbon-based life form and saying that silicon processes information faster and trying to replace functions of the brain is abnormal. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Hey, can we talk about something serious for a minute? Your age. Getting old has its perks. But remember, being a few years younger, you know, your hair was thicker, you didn't have so many wrinkles, that extra weight wasn't haunting you, and you just felt better. Well, we can't turn back the clocks and go back 10 or 15 years, but you can start feeling and looking 10 or 15 years younger with Nature's Youth RSF. It's a doctor-formulated daily supplement that helps your body maintain its peak performance and fight the aging process. Imagine sleeping better, looking better, and feeling better. See how Nature's Youth RSF has helped thousands of people just like you at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. The holidays are coming. Imagine how it will feel when your family and friends are asking you what you did to look so good. Your secret will be Nature's Youth RSF. It's time to start looking better and feeling better. Learn more and order your Nature's Youth RSF at naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Wednesday, January 10th, 2018. We're on the phones. We're going to get back to the phones here. Paul, I appreciate your call and the discussion because, you know, it's one that is increasingly prevalent, I guess. And, you know, I would respectfully disagree, but I think it comes down to a position of worldview. So, anyway, thanks for your call, Paul. Appreciate it. Let's go back to the phones real quick and grab John in Tennessee. John, thanks for calling. Welcome.
I appreciate it. Always enjoy hearing Paul's calls, but he actually prompted the call. I was gonna be quiet all week, and I think it's difficult, Chris, because I know that you and I think so much in common with one another on this. Am I in a hurry to die? Absolutely not. Would right. I like to have an organ removed and transplanted in order to live two more years? Probably not, unless it was from someone that I knew very well, or possibly a family member, since I believe the life of the body is in the blood, and I'm not talking about racial purity, but you don't know whose blood you're getting, and it does make a difference. If you've got an right. organ from, you know, I mean, and it's difficult to address because it's a completely out of the ordinary.
Well, exactly. It comes down to worldview. There's a video that I wanted to play, but we don't have time. I think it was Dan Brown on CBS This Morning a while back, talking about how when kids are looking at their, you know, we used to look up. People used to walk down the street and look up. Now when they're using these scrying mirrors, basically, as they're walking down the street, they're looking down, which is a provocative metaphor, I would say. And it comes down to worldview, doesn't it, John, where the Bible tells us to we put our hope in the coming promise versus what Revelation and other parts of the Bible call the earth dwellers, the dwellers of the earth, the kings of the earth, the folks who name streets after themselves and things, as the book of Psalms talks about, these folks that think this is their kingdom.
I think what's happened, Chris, is that through the technology, and I'm guilty since the early 60s of watching that box with vacuum tubes in it at that time. But we're being taken away from the Bible. We're being taken away from what I know personally to be absolute truth.
Yep.
And through these TVs and through the computers and through the phones, we're looking down, much like a servant would. Don't, you know, hold your head down. Don't look up. Don't look at anybody. Don't look at the sheriff. Don't look him in the eye. And the Bible, what does it tell us? When you see these things, look up. Your redemption draw. No one's looking up, Chris. No one even knows what to look for because they've been conditioned and programmed and organized and you know, I can't even get to the language that I need to describe what is happening, even with the group that calls himself part of the body of Christ. A preacher can't preach a message without having his iPad up in the pulpit looking at it. You know, where I've got.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.